I get to speak all over the country, the world. You know, I've spoken at some of the biggest churches in the country, certainly some of the biggest companies in the world. But I always feel that this is my home. And because, you know, I always feel welcome here. You know, your pastor is, I don't have to tell you, he's your pastor. But he's such a great guy. Him and his wife always inspires me. Just his humbleness and, you know, what he's built. You know that God is in his life. How do you know that God is in his life? Just look at his life and you can see God all over him. And that's why I enjoy coming here. You know, I'm going to talk to you. I haven't shared in a while my testimony on how Cheetos came into existence, how I got saved. So I'm going to quickly try to do that. I did that years ago, but I'm sure some of you have never heard that story. I know I got 30 minutes, but I'll tell you what. I'll tell you when to start the clock, okay? But I also want to talk to you about creating a revolution in your life. Now, what is a revolution? A revolution is something that was always there, but it's been revealed or unveiled to you. It was always there. I'm gonna give you a revelation right now. These glasses were always in my pocket. They were always there. I just revealed it to you. So you can take one revelation to create a revolution in your life. And what is a revolution? A revolution is something that just changes your life completely. And that's what happened in my life when I first got saved. You know, I like to tell people, you know, that I stopped going to school in the sixth grade. When I got saved, I couldn't read, I couldn't write. You know, the Bible's a difficult book to read, but something happened in my life. God awoke in certain things. I never knew. Listen to me. I'm going to be honest with you, okay? I'm not making anything. I never knew until I got saved that I was brilliant. I'm probably the most uneducated, brilliant person you will ever meet. Because that brilliance was a revelation that was always there. But then it was revealed to me. And I know, I love that scripture when Hosea wrote in chapter 4, I believe it is, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Okay. Did he say my people are destroyed because of the devil? Because of drugs? He said because lack of knowledge. You know that the knowledge of God can separate you from the knowledge of man. Once you get a hold of the knowledge of God in your life, there is no competition for you. You are separated. How does somebody that never went to high school teach at Harvard, Notre Dame, Purdue, Pepperdine, USC? You can't explain it. How do you explain somebody that can barely read has written 2 bestsellers? Thank God for spell check, huh? And I know people have told me, you know, you're going to write a book. Sometimes, brothers and sisters, when God gives you an idea, a revelation, don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody. I'm going to share with you in my story. So if we can, let's just check out one scripture. Give me 1 minute here. This is kind of the scripture that started it for me in my life. You know, there's 3 things that I want to do today, okay? I want to inspire you. I want to encourage you. And I want to remind you. Now, I'm a student of, I study Hebrew. I study Latin. I study French. I study the Greek. And somebody said, you should study English. Someday I will. 3 things I want to do. So the word inspire, many of our words today I love that come from the Greek. The Greek philosophers are some of the greatest minds of all time. You know, the word philosophy, sometimes in the Christian church, it gets a bad rap. Oh, he's a philosopher. Well, you know, the word philosopher comes from two places. It means somebody who loves to think. That's what a philosopher is, somebody who loves to think. And another word that gets a bad rap in the church is science. You know, to study science is to study the mind of God. Albert Einstein, one of the greatest minds of all time, he said this. He said that if a scientist doesn't believe in God, it's because they haven't studied science long enough. I love to study science. It gives me the revelations of the secrets of how God did it. When you see something, a scientist explaining something, they're just trying to figure out, how did God do it? So the word inspire comes from the Greeks. It simply means to breathe life into someone. That's what I want to do this morning. I just want to breathe life into you for a moment. It's just for a moment. Second thing I want to do is I want to encourage you. What does it mean to encourage someone? It means to grab courage and put it in their deepest being that they stand up and they're never the same again. I want to encourage you. Young people, stay away from people who discourage you. To discourage someone, it means to go into their deepest being and pull out their courage that they're never the same again. The last thing that I'd like to do is I'd like to remind you, and you're thinking, remind me of what? Remind you of who you are. Remind you of the value that you are to humanity, the value that you are to this church, to your family, to your job, to your career. Your value isn't tied into your bank account. My bank account was zero, so you were telling me that when I first started, I had zero value? That's what man may tell you that, but God saw you as something that is so valuable that you cannot be replaced. There isn't two of you, brothers and sisters. There's only one of you. If there was two of you, one of you wouldn't be needed. So let me just start off real quick in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 16. And this is a scripture that are we going to put it up, Proverbs 18, 16? No? Yes? Where is it? Okay, there we go. Okay, well, I'm not going to read it. You can see it. I'm going to save me some time. But you know that's the scripture when we first got saved, me and my wife, Judy. Now, let me tell you something about my wife, Judy, okay? We've been married, about 47, 48 years. We've been together since we were kids. Thank you. And I remember it was about 4 years ago at Harvard. I had told everybody, I've been married for 40-some years. And the whole auditorium was like, geez, I'm barely 20 years old. So the question came up, Mr. Montanez, you've been married twice as long as I've been alive. Do you and your wife ever argue? And I said, do me and Judy ever argue? Brothers and sisters, this is the truth. This is how I answered. Judy told me this a long time ago. She said this, Richard, I was with you when you had nothing. I ain't leaving now. So I will be married until the day I die. So we both grew up together. We're from the hood. A lot of my leadership sometimes doesn't make sense to well-educated people because I'm from the hood. Just because you have a degree from Harvard does no way make you any smarter than I am. I have a degree that comes from heaven. The knowledge of God separates you from there is no competition when you are filled with the knowledge of God. So this is the scripture that my wife gave me. Now, I'm from the hood. Violence being a part of my life till I got saved. I grew up dodging bullets. My father's been shot. My mom's been shot at. My brother's been shot at. 10 brothers and sisters, every one of us have been in jail. I used to bail my mom out of jail. That's how it was. And today people tell me, you know what, Richard? You're still ghetto. I'll accept it. Matter of fact, let me show you how ghetto I am. This suit, Boss. This tie, Versace. This shirt, Valentino. These shoes, Gucci. This belt, Walmart. Is that ghetto? See, but that's part of our DNA. You see, people who have that type of a background, people like you and I, we are visionaries. We can see things that other people can't see. It separates us. We can go to places that other people can't go. We can dress half stylish and then still wear Walmart. Because that's who we are. Other people can't do that. That is a blessing. Once you recognize that where you came from, it's a blessing. Brothers and sisters, there is nothing wrong with your past, good or bad. Your past is a pillar to help sustain your future. You will recognize that someday if you haven't already. So my wife said, Richard, God's going to use your gift. And you're going to stand before kings. I'm like, what are you talking about, Judy? I don't have no education. I don't have no gift. I'm a janitor. I finally got a hold of it. This is my gift, was to mop floors. So that you know, when I started working, I didn't have very much money. I was making, you know, $100 a week. And I would mop that floor and I would say this, God, I'm gonna mop this floor for you. Receive this as an offering. I'm gonna take everybody's trash out for you. Receive this as an offering. Little did I know what I was saying. Be faithful in the little things, he'll make you ruler over. One time I had 50,000 employees. And it started because I was mopping floors. It started, my wealth building started when that bucket came around. And I dropped in seed. Let me give you some godly knowledge. The seed, any type of seed. The seed holds the blueprints. Listen to me. The seed holds the blueprints for the type of fruit it's going to grow. So when you plant the seed in the seed sends a signal to the soil, and it tells the soil, these are all the nutrients I need to grow this orange. So when you drop that seed for a new house, that seed sends a signal in the spirit. These are all the nutrients I need to get this house for them. One day, me and my wife looked at our bank account and said, man, this is, what the heck happened here? You know, we have more money than, you know, we'd ever dreamed of. So we started a foundation. We started sending kids from the hood to college. We started feeding. We fed over 1 million people across the world. Every year, we buy 50,000 pairs of brand new shoes. Brand new shoes. And we give them to kids that can't afford them. And somebody says, why do you do that? Because I can. What I do should not be unique. Each one of you should have that. Each one of you should have a foundation. Build the foundation. Let God fill it up. And I guarantee you that one day you're going to look at your bank account. Oh, my God. Because you see, you are actually an ATM for God. It's not your job to fill up the ATM. It's his job. So Judy said, you're going to stand before. I had no idea how that, but that came to pass. I have had lunch or dinner with every U.S. president since Ronald Reagan. I've spoken at the White House numerous times. 2005, I spoke at the United Nations. You can't get an invitation to the United Nations. And I remember walking up the stairs. And, you know, must have been, I don't know, 1,000 ambassadors there. I remember walking up the stairs, and you know that God has a way of stopping time and just speaking to you, yet time is still moving around you, but you and him are having a conversation. And I remember walking up, and God said, remember when you cried out? Because when I first got saved, my mind was fried from drugs. No school. And I cried. I said, God, please don't leave me here. I have nothing to offer anybody. Your word says that if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Your word says, put on the mind of Christ. I've done these things. And God said, look at what I've done with you, Richard. The world comes to hear you speak. All because of that scripture that Judy gave me. Your gift's going to lead you to stand before kings. Now, you know that I grew up during a civil rights movement, but I wasn't old enough to have an impact on the movement. But I was old enough that the movement had an impact on my life, because here's what happened. Desegregation comes into existence. And I grew up in a labor camp. We lived in one room, no kitchen, no bathroom, everything was outside. We lived in one room. Everybody there picked grapes. Half the residents were Italians and the other half were Latinos. And so desegregation comes into existence and they picked my school to take 8 kids to integrate them out of school across town. 10 kids. I'm the second oldest, I'm the oldest male. And mama's getting her oldest son ready for school. Let me take you on a trip in the 60s, okay? So relax. So mama's getting her oldest son ready for school, which is me. And I'm crying. And mama says, Chion, ¿por qué lloras? Cry baby, why are you crying? Porque no quiero ir a esta escuela. Because I don't want to go to that school. ¿Por qué no, mijo? Why not, son? Porque todos hablan inglés. Because everybody speaks English. Mom, how can you send me to a school where I can barely speak English? People tell me, Rick, you can still barely speak English. And mama said, well, it's the law. I didn't understand it. So, okay, we went. And my uncle took us, and there's 8 of us there. And here comes the yellow bus. There goes the yellow bus. It never stopped. You should have seen 8 happy Mexican kids. Wondering what had happened. I told my uncle, it's a Mexican holiday. We don't have to go to school. Then all of a sudden, I heard a backfire. And we look, and here comes this green bus. The ugliest bus you can imagine. That's the bus that they sent to pick us up. I looked at that bus, and I'm like, I don't want to ride that ugly thing. I want to get on the yellow bus with Bobby and Johnny and Mary and Susie. I want to be like those kids. Why do I have to? It wasn't until I was older that I realized that many times you have to revisit your past so that you can find your future. As I said, nothing wrong with your past, good or bad. And it dawned on me. It was the time in the society of that day that said, let's get these kids right here, put them on this ugly green bus, parade them across town so everybody can see that, guess what? They're not good enough to be like those kids. Well, as a child, you take that on. You're not good enough to be like all the other kids. One more scripture. Exodus chapter 4, verse 2. I love when Moses is having a conversation with God. You know, and I love to study Moses because I look at Moses was, I mean, he was from the camp of the enemy. And God raised him up in that situation knowing he was going to use him over here. I realize now that everything I went through was for a purpose and a reason. Some things that your children will go through, hang in there. It's for a purpose and a reason. They're being built up like Moses. First of all, God was going to give Moses the 10 Commandments. Now, at the time, only about 3% of Israel could read and write. So God needed somebody who could read and write. So, of course, he got somebody who was one of the most educated individuals at the time was Moses. So he could handle the writing. Little details that God never misses. And then I know when God said, when Moses said, well, who are you? What is your name? And God said, I am who I am. You know what he was telling Moses? I am whoever you need me to be. if you are sick, I am the one that heals you. Are you in poverty? I am the one that blesses you. I am everything that you need. Then he said, well, how am I going to do? I don't have anything. My favorite part. This is what I want you to understand. Everything that you have to be successful is right in front of you. It's in you. It's in your hand. And God told Moses, what do you have in your hand? He's a stick. That's what God uses. What do you have in your hand? A stick. Throw it down. Turned it into a snake. God said, pick it up. Moses said, I'm not going to pick it up. You know why he said I don't want to pick it up? Because it's going to bite me. What did he mean by that? Moses felt that all the bad things that he had done were going to come back to bite him. And God said, no, pick it up. Your past is going to come back to bite you. You need to understand that. Your past is never going to come back to bite you. So here we are. We get off at the school, right off the bus. We go to class, trying to figure out what the teacher is saying. Not too bad. But then there's one sound that's international. Every child knows this sound. You know what that sound is? Sound of the recess bell. I didn't need an interpretation. I knew what that meant. Lunchtime. What a relief. And I remember me and my friends, seven of us, total eight, sat together. I remember I said that there's something in your hand that God is going to use to create a revolution in your life. But you got to see it as a revelation first. So I remember I pulled out my lunch, ready to take a bite. Everybody's staring at me. Why do you think everybody was staring at me? Because it was a burrito. You got to remember, it was 1960-something. The world hadn't seen a burrito yet. Contrary to popular belief, Taco Bell didn't introduce the burrito to the world. Me and my mom did. But the truth was, I was embarrassed. I was embarrassed because my English sucked. I was embarrassed for being on that green bus. I was embarrassed because everybody was staring at my lunch. So I remember I went home and I told my mom, Mama, quiero un bologna sandwich con un cupcake. Mama, I want a bologna sandwich and a cupcake like the other kids because I want to be like them, Mama. I don't want to be different. I want to be like them. But Mama, being the marketing genius that she is and the leadership of a woman is just unbelievable. I will follow the leadership of a woman any day. So Mama said, no, mijo, this is who you are. So the next day she made me two burritos. And she said, here's one for you and here's one to share with a friend. So Wednesday was my burrito nightmare. Thursday, I shared a burrito with a friend. Friday, I was selling burritos for 25 cents a piece. As a child, that was my first revelation that was going to create a revolution. What was that revelation? Here it is. I want you to get a hold of this. I want you to teach your children this. That revelation was this, that as much as I wanted to be like them, I was never created to fit in. I was always created to stand out. None of you in here were you ever created to fit in. You were never created to be like them. You were created to stand out. Your child is never created to fit in. That's why you can go back in your life and say, I've never been able to be like her or like him because you're not supposed to. That revelation grew into a revolution in my life. I realized that no matter how hard I tried, I was never going to fit in. So I quit school. I wasn't proud of that. I quit school, worked as a gardener, I killed chicken for a living at a chicken ranch, and then I worked at a car wash. Working at the car wash, one of my friends pulls up, and he has a Frito-Lay uniform on, and he told me that he just got hired at Frito-Lay. That they were taking applications. I thought, oh my God, just think if I could get a job at Frito-Lay. I could change the legacy for the Montañez family. I can go from the fields into the factories. They have health benefits. Being Latino, I never had health benefits. You know what my health benefit was? Vicks and a 7-Up. Didn't really work. So I went and applied. I couldn't read and write, so I asked the manager, can I bring it back? The application, he said, yeah, sure, no problem. So Judy filled it out for me, went back the next day, and showed him the application. And I was nervous. He looked at it, looked at me. Did you fill this out? I said, yes. You have nice handwriting. I've been stealing Judy's credit ever since. 1976. I got the job on the spot. Now, I thank God for a lot of things, but that day in 1976, I thank God for one thing. You know what that one thing is? They didn't do background checks in those days. I got the job on the spot. Thank God. I got the job as a janitor. Went home to the labor camp to tell my grandpa and my dad. My grandpa told me something, ladies and gentlemen, that I believe it's the reason I'm successful today. I love my compensation, but it was never about that. I love PepsiCo, but it was never about them. I love hot Cheetos, but it was never about that. My grandpa said, what are you doing? I'm going to mop floors. He said, when you mop that floor, you make sure that it shines, and when people see it, they know that a Montañez mopped it. You know that I took that on, ladies and gentlemen. I shined that floor, and everybody was asking. You see, there's an old incorrect quote. You get promoted by who you know. Throw that away. That's not true. You get promoted by who knows you. You could say you know the CEO all you want, but if they don't know you. Let me put it this way. You can say you know Jesus Christ all you want, but if he don't know you. So I took that on. And then I realized, you know what, ladies and gentlemen, the whole world's trying to influence the world. I'm not trying to influence everyone. I'm not trying to influence everyone, only the right ones. Because when it's the right ones, it works for both of us. You help me and I help you. So that one thing that's in your hand, God will use. So one day we go grocery shopping. It was either Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And I'd go to the neighborhood market. It was called Ranch Market. And I would go there because the owner knew who I was. He would cash my check. I didn't have a bank account. Somebody said, why don't you have a bank account? I didn't have no money. What do I have a bank account for? So he would cash my check. I'd buy groceries. You know that today I teach the banking industry across the country? Today I teach the banking industry across the country. I got kicked out of a bank one time because I bounced so many checks. That's just experience. Nothing bad about that. I survived it. So I'm not trying to influence everyone. Only the right ones. So we're grocery shopping. We walk outside. There was this young man that was always there. And he would be selling corn on the cob, elotes. And he was a food vendor. Before it was popular, it was long, you know, over 30 years ago. And he was there with his two little girls and his wife, and he had an ice chest, a couple of ice chests, and a table. And he'd have hot water in there, and he'd have the corn in there. And he was always dressed really nice. Now, he never acted like a food vendor. You know what he acted like? Like he was running a 5-star restaurant. He greeted me with a smile. Hello, Richard. ¿Cómo estás? How are you? How's everybody? Just inspiring. You know, those kind of people that just, you know, light up the room. He was one of them. And I said, well, let me have two, one for me and my oldest son. With everything, you know, they put chili on it. They put, you know, you see them at the fairs, right? Yeah, let me have two. Con todo, with everything, yeah, put everything on it. Chili, yeah. And I remember we sat down on our porch. We had the old concrete porches. Sat there, me and my son. And God can use whatever's in your hand. I remember I took a bite. I looked at it. God was about to give me a revolution, a revelation that would give me the biggest revolution of my life. I looked at it. I took a bite, took a second bite, and I said this. Every great leader has got to say these words. That looks like a Cheeto. I said this. What if I put chili on a Cheeto? So I ran inside and I told Judy, hey, I'm gonna put your chili sauce on Cheetos. And, you know, she's from the hood too, so she's game. She's like, well, let's do it. You know, so she said, go to the plant, pick up some Cheetos with no cheese on it. So I remember I got me a trash bag, and I went to the Cheeto line without any cheese, and I filled up that trash bag. I put that trash. I told you I was ghetto. I always tell people when they say, man, you're so ghetto. Yeah, but I'm ghetto rich. So after a couple of days, we got it fine. She took some to her work. I took some to my work. And we both came back that evening. She said, Richard, you got to call the CEO. God used that one thing that was in my hand. Call the CEO. I'm not calling the CEO. This is during when corporate America was a command and control. What is a command and control? Exactly that. I didn't hire you to think. I hired you to do what I tell you to do, command and control. She called the CEO. I'm not calling. She's calling. I said, okay, I'll call him. So next day I went in, and there's no email. You know, it's either a fax or a telephone. But every company had a corporate directory, as they do today. And I found the CEO, and first one was, you know, his name. I called him up. And keep in mind that only the presidents of the different divisions would call the CEO. A vice president wouldn't even call the CEO. So Patty, his executive assistant, answered the phone. And remember, I'm not trying to influence everyone, only the right ones. She was one of the right ones. Because I said, hi, can I speak to the CEO? She goes, who is this? Richard Montagnier. She goes, I don't recognize the name. Because she's used to a president from the north, the south, whatever. And I said, I work in California. Oh, you're the president of California? No, well, I work in Southern California. Oh, you're the vice president of Southern? No, I work in the plant. Okay, you're the vice president of operation. No, I work inside. A plant director? No, plant manager? No. What are you? I got a little fancy. I said, I'm a maintenance technician. And I said, but please don't hang up. Don't hang up. I saw Mr. Enrico's video, and he said he act like an owner, and I created my own seasoning for a new product. I think it'll save jobs. And I told her, and by the way, I was employee of the month 2 months in a row. I was. And she said, hang on. She influenced him the way an executive assistant can. She told him, you need to get on the phone and talk to this gentleman. He saw your video. He's doing exactly what you said to do, and he created. You need to get on that phone. Not trying to influence everyone, only the right ones. So when he got on the phone, he was so excited. Richard, I heard you got an idea. And I'm like, yeah. I got this, and you know, he goes, I'll be there in 2 weeks. He's coming to, man, I was floating. But remember, this command and control. Protocol goes into action. The CEO's office calls the president's office, calls the senior vice president, calls the area vice president, calls the division vice president, the plant manager. The conversation was all the same. Who let the janitor call the CEO? Who's this Richard guy? So by the time the plant manager got it, guess what? He came looking for me, and he just let me have it. The way they talked to you in the 70s. Ask your parents. And he looked at me, and he says, you're doing the presentation. I'm doing the presentation? I've never even done homework. So I remember I went home, and Judy looked at me, and she knew something was wrong, because guess what? The plan was, let Richard do it so that he can get fired, they can see this nonsense, and let's stop this now before it goes any further. So she looked at me, and she goes, what's wrong? I said, I'm going to get fired. And she said, why are you going to get fired? Because you told me to call the CEO, now I'm in trouble. Typical leadership of a woman. Here's what she said. Calm down. We're going to go to the library and check out a book on how to develop a marketing strategy. Went to the library, got 3 books, copied it. Here they come, all of them. It was historic because in those days, CEOs didn't go to plants. They went to Wall Street. They went to whatever meetings. But this time they came to a plant. He brought everybody, every chief of HR, chief of marketing. Everybody was there. And they were all mad. I couldn't understand, why are you mad at me? And the head scientist, we had 300 scientists. And the head scientist walked up to me and says, who do you think you are? We all came. The CEO made us come down here to hear you. What are you gonna offer us? Don't you know that I have a PhD? I'm a doctor. And I said, I got a PhD too. I'm poor, hungry, and determined. Ladies and gentlemen, the Holy Spirit hit that place. Let me just tell you in 60 seconds, the Holy Spirit hit that place in my favor. Because the knowledge that I brought separated me from the knowledge of the most educated people in my organization. There was no competition. It didn't matter what I said. They were going to hear what God wants them to hear. I've learned that when I come into a message, it doesn't matter what I say. God's going to let you hear what you need to hear. So Hot Cheetos came into existence. Today, it was the number one snack in the world. $2 billion a year. After that, I created 14 other products that do $500 to $1 billion a year. And it just left me on a journey that I cannot explain, but it was one revelation that created a revolution. It was that one statement that God said, your gift is going to lead you. Whatever that gift is, be the best at it. It's not about the compensation. Let people see God in you. And whatever it is that's in your hand, let God use that. If it's a pencil, let it be. If it's a mop, let it be. If it's a thing to flip hamburgers, let God, you don't know what it is until you let it go and say, here it is. He's put that thing in your hand. You think that it's by coincidence? God's not waiting for you to get saved and say, well, let me go put a plan for him or her. It's already put in place. He's waiting for you to accept it.
Thanks for watching this week's message. One way for you to connect here at Church Narok is through the God is for You classes. These classes are designed to teach you about the culture, mission, and values of Church on the Rock, and about your God-given design. You can take these classes anytime by going to our website at cotr.org/God is for You. And if you want to know about all the incredible things we have here at Church on the Rock, make sure to visit our website at cotr.org. And never forget, God is for you.